Well, hello everybody. Welcome to another week of Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are from Third Space. And this is the 200 and who knows what week, many weeks of conversation. And you are so, so welcome to be with us. Whether you're listening on a podcast or on YouTube, or you're with us live in our Facebook group, which everyone is welcome to join. And we're going to do the thing that we ordinarily do, which is, Lizzie, you've brought us a wonderful source for us to begin with. And we're going to read and dive in. And Lizzie, thank you for your faithfulness and consistency and creativity and boldness in what you get to bring.
Thank you, Justin. And thank you to the wonderful Rosemary, whose poems we've brought many times already in our conversations, Justin. So this one for today is called Never the Same. And so if you're new to us, what happens here is that we both read the source that we've brought, and then we get into an unrehearsed, goodness knows what happens next, conversation with one another to see what emerges between us. And so here we go. It's called Never the Same. Sometimes a person wakes believing they are a storm. It's hard to deny it. What with all the rain pouring out of the gutters of the mind and the gusts blowing through, all the squalls, all the grey. But by the afternoon, it seems obvious they're a garden about to sprout. By night, it's clear they're a moon, luminous, radiant, faithful. That's the danger, I suppose, of believing any frame. Let me believe then in curiosity, in wonder, in change. Let me trust how essential it is to stumble into the trough of the unknown. Marvel how trough becomes wings, becomes faith, becomes math. Let me trust uncertainty is a sacred path.
Thank you, Lizzie. So before I read it, I just want to say you can always find these sources on the turningtowards.life website and in the notes that come out with the podcast version and on YouTube and in our Facebook group where they arrive on a Friday, but also particularly as this is Rosemary's. And Rosemary, thank you so much for your luminous writing. You can find Rosemary's work at 100fallingveils.com, and we are in great wonder, Rosemary, at your capacity to write and make wonderful poetry available every day. So I'm going to make a strong recommendation, if you haven't checked out Rosemary's work, to head over there. And here is Never the Same. Sometimes a person wakes believing they are a storm. It's hard to deny it. What with all the rain pouring out of the gutters of the mind, all the gusts blowing through, all the squalls, all the grey. But by afternoon, it seems obvious they are a garden about to sprout. By night, it is clear they are a moon, luminous, radiant, faithful. That's the danger, I suppose, of believing any frame. Let me believe then in curiosity, in wonder, in change. Let me trust how essential it is to stumble into the trough of the unknown. Marvel how trough becomes wings, becomes faith, becomes math. Let me trust. Uncertainty is a sacred path.
Thank you, Justin. Oh, as you read that, Justin, I can feel all the ways my life is kind of I was going to say a roller coaster, but that doesn't really take into account the differences that I'm talking about. But this poem is such a, like, an acknowledgement of what a day can hold in a life, in terms of who we feel ourselves to be, take ourselves to be. And I love this sense that maybe change and uncertainty is the only thing that I can really trust anyway. And so I can take these things as that being the context. So my stormness as a context of change, my gardenness as a context of, well, yes, for now, but who knows what's next? So I think it's so easy to label ourselves, or this is what I'm like or something. But then there's always, in my experience, a contradiction to this is what I'm like. So I'm really sociable and I'm really not. I'm really open and sometimes really defensive. I'm really curious and sometimes really cynical. And so I feel like anything that welcomes the spectrum of me feels truthful and accurate. Whereas anything that tells me, oh, well, then that's because, you know, then it means this is a problem, or well, if you're like that, then oh dear, you know, there's a kind of, I think in a way that might be how we choose sources as well, Justin, like that there's an underlying openness and curiosity for there to be uncertainty inside of everything. Then I think we're interested in it.
I love this way that you're talking about, Lizzie, holding many possibilities for ourselves open and together at the same time. And I'm sure that Rosemary's words can take us both into an inquiry about ourselves and also an inquiry into our relationship with others too. But I really want to start with us, with ourselves. And what one of the ways that these words meet me so powerfully is actually where Rosemary begins. Sometimes a person wakes believing they are a storm, and then there's all kinds of good evidence for being a storm. And the central active verb here is what we believe, and how what we believe about ourselves and how we believe it. So I resonate with this. I wake often with stories about myself that are very, very compelling because they meet some genuine experience I'm having, like I'm afraid. Sometimes a person wakes believing they are terrified. And it's not that it's untrue. It's just it's not the only thing. And so one part of it, the way Rosemary's written this, is the, for me as I read, is the delight of the, if we're willing to let ourselves discover again and again and again how partial our stories are, that I can be a storm and I can be a garden, and for some reason this one really moves me, and I can be a moon. That one touches me very deeply. I long to be a moon, and I also know that I can be a moon, among many other things, luminous, radiant, faithful. But what trouble we get ourselves into when we hold on to a story about ourselves as if it were the whole story, this is the first problem, and if it were the only story, the second problem. So I've certainly found it really life-giving for myself to be able to remember, yes, I'm a terrified one, but I'm also a loving one, and I'm also a creative one, and I'm also a joyful one, and I'm also depth, and to have many possible stories, even if at the time I'm right in the middle of the rain pouring out of the gutters of the mind and the gusts blowing through in the schools and all the grave, even if the only thing I can find in me at that moment in time is all the evidence why I'm a storm, the act of remembering and of having other names is incredibly dignifying and life-giving. So one part of it is, are we prepared to have enough stories about ourselves and to not hold on too tightly to the ones that we do have, so that we start to give ourselves the space? But the other thing that really struck me is that sometimes, as Rosemary says, we discover, oh, it's obvious that I'm a garden. For me, that's true. It's also been very, very helpful for me to have practices in my life that remind me that I'm, so for me, as you know, and as I've spoken about many times here, for me, that it's I'm water, which is why after we've spoken, I'm going to get on my bike and cycle to the pond on Hampstead Heath and get in the water, because it will remind me that I'm not just a storm, I'm also deep, dark, still lake. So it gets me thinking about how words and story and practice and of course people can be the reminders to ourselves, if we choose to hold this commitment to curiosity and wonder and change, and the malleability of ourselves, the changeability of ourselves, we can really support ourselves in that way.
Mm-hmm. As you were talking, Justin, I got kind of curious about the relationship between the story that we're telling, like with a storm or with a garden, and the associated experience that we have. So if I'm taking myself to be a storm, there's an experience inside of that. And I suppose what feels really important to me as well is to not kind of, I think there's another way of saying what you were saying, but to not belittle our experience by kind of naming it in as a story in a particular way that kind of says that that experience doesn't have validity. You know, waking up terrified, there might be a story going on that has that experience come out of thing we're telling ourselves about ourselves, that we're a storm or whatever. But it seems to me that that experience is also somewhere to find our curiosity inside of. So I feel really curious about when we do have experiences that seem, I mean, how wonderful if we could experience something and then know what story we were telling that had us experience that. But I think often it's really hard to know what story that we're telling in the moment. Because many times in my life, I'm in a pure experience of being myself, of being angry or sad or grief-stricken or something. And it's really hard to know what story I'm telling myself. So, but that there's the possibility that I'm telling a story is really healing and helpful. And what I also know about me is that in the understanding of this being true, that things change and that I change in the course of a day, let alone in the course of a week or 10 years, I feel like it helps me to also find my discernment about what I do in the moment of having these strong experiences as well. So given this is going to change, given that this is going to transform in some way, because it's never going to be the same forever, what do I choose to do now? Like, so for example, if I'm feeling really, really angry about something, I feel like there's, because of this being something that's really sacred to me, that everything changes and that I change all the time, do I choose to argue from this place and state my truth from this place? Or do I know that this is a passing energy, this is a passing experience? And maybe there's a place that I could come from that's more inclusive, that's inclusive of more of me that I intend to be in the world than just this place, because I know this is going to change. I know something different is going to happen in about 10 minutes time. So do I want to speak from here? Do I want to say things from this place in me, this experience in me? Or do I want to go for a walk or go for a swim, like you said, and remind myself of some different things about me, or look at the tree in the garden for a second? Because I feel like if I take myself to be a fixed something, it kind of gives me permission to say whatever I want from whatever experience I'm having, because that's who I am. Whereas if I don't take myself to be fixed, then it shows me that making decisions from a place that I feel sure of at the time sometimes is really not in service of what I intend in the world, or what I want for my family, or what I want for whatever situation I'm in. Does that make sense?
It's reminding me of a series of images I once saw, and there are many, many different versions of this, but it starts off looking like it's a picture of a red mountains, all jaggedy, and then it zooms out and you find out it's the crest on top of a chicken's head, and it looks like we're on a farm. And then you zoom out and you find out that the chicken's in a house, and you're looking through the door of the house. And then you zoom out and you find out that it's a doll's house in it. And depending upon where, how far back we stand, we start to see that the frame for every interpretation, there's always a bigger frame in which any interpretation of the picture exists. And one way of talking about what you've just said is that when, because, you know, I do this all the time, and when we're in the middle of a something and we feel really certain that that's the true something, right now I'm feeling really, really, really annoyed, and that's the truth. And it's not that it's untrue. It is true. But as you were saying, if I were to make a big decision, something important, or even a small decision, like how I speak to somebody I love, as if that were the only truth, it robs me of the certainty, as you said, in 10 minutes I'll be something else, and I'll feel something else, or tomorrow I'll feel something else. And all those times that I've, you know, sometimes that's what we have to do. We don't realize in the moment, and we have to go back afterwards and say, gosh, I spoke from that place of being a storm, but now I'm a mountain.
Yeah.
Or now I'm sunshine, and I can feel something else in me. So being willing to let go of the place that we were standing in before because some new place is here is a really important part of the making sense of our lives and repairing our relationships and all of those kind of things. And embedded in what you're saying is actually a sort of like a meta interpretation, a bigger place to stand, which is also, I think, what Rosemary is pointing us into, which is to keep on reminding us that one of the bigger stories is that we are wonders and changing beings. And if we could remember in the middle of our rigid certainty that something is a certain way, or somebody is a certain way, or that the world is a certain way, if we could remember that part of who we are is to be the one who will see it from a different perspective at a different time, when our bodies soften, or when I've had some more sleep, or when I'm in a place that's different, or with people who are different, or because I've just read a poem, or I've spoken to a loved one, or all the things that keep on changing us. If we could remember if we could marvel, as Rosemary says, at the way that trough becomes wings, becomes faith, becomes math, we would give ourselves so much more freedom to find truths that are more enduring and that are more in line with what we most deeply care about and most deeply value, which are rarely the things that we feel so certain about in the midst of a storm coming through. Or so it feels very good to remember that, and to remember it on behalf of one another also, so that when you're in your storm and you're surprising me by something you're saying, and it's certainty, I can remember also not to treat you only like a storm, to remember that you're also a garden and also a moon. And that kind of faithfulness towards you that I can bring, that you may not be bringing yourself at that moment in time, would also be a blessing.
Gosh, it's that's the whole kind of allowing this to be true for other people is where I began to go when you were talking, Justin. And I don't know if I can formulate this properly. At the moment, there's somebody who really, really on our street really, really doesn't like us at the moment in our little family. And it's quite something, like she won't even look us in the eye when we say hello, kind of thing. And I was just thinking in the context of that, you know, when we've held someone in this fixedness, I think she's holding us in a particular like an opinion about us that she can't really get past. How important this is, not only for us to see each other as changeable, so whoever I take this person to be, they could be different tomorrow. Like, that's an important thing, but also to allow ourselves to move between places in ourselves so that we don't have to keep telling the same story. And I think, like, when there's conflict, it's like we somehow in our culture, there's this thing of like, well, if I haven't looked you in the eyes now for 20 days, because I really don't, I'm cross with you or whatever. It's like, oh no, I think I have to do that forever now. So firstly, like, who do I need to be in order for her to feel like she can safely come back without me then being cross with her that she was like that all that time? Like, how do I allow that to be true? And also, how do I hold the vision of her changing at the same time? And also me changing too, and saying and being kind of defenseless enough to say whatever it is that I've done when she tells me, or however I've been, how do I apologize, even if it's just because if I acknowledge that it's a parts thing, doesn't really matter what I did or didn't do. It's just, we're just in part responses to each other. So the did or didn't thing, unless it's some, you know, serious something, it's just parts being with parts. And how can I deepen and have faith in change, like Rosemary's inviting us into, and genuine curiosity about this person's experience, so that the space is made for there something different to happen next time, even if it happens again and again and again, still keep having the faith that change is possible and probable.
Yeah. Yeah, there are clearly times when, as you said, that the other thing that's required is some kind of repair, you know, some kind of acknowledgement. I did wrong to you. I mistreated you. But even that is also part of the same thing that you're saying, which is, I'm sorry that you are in the situation in your street that you're in. And I recognize a very similar situation in my own life at the moment. And you got me thinking about how easy it is to rigidify into stories about ourselves and one another that escalate, that distance us and distance us and distance us. So now you're not looking at me. Well, I'm not going to look at you because you're the person who won't look at me. And now I have to be the person. And I know that in myself too, that it's a sort of, you know, whenever we're in a painful situation where there's been some kind of rupture, for example, in relationship, like the one you're describing, it makes sense to some parts of us, very protective parts of us, to rigidify ourselves us into, well, I'll keep myself safe here by making myself into a storm, and I'll be a storm always, and you'll be a storm always.
Yeah.
And then we won't have to feel our vulnerability and our tenderness and the riskiness of meeting one another with all of the, as Rosemary says, with all of the uncertainty in the midst of us. And it feels safer to know that, and to have all the judgments about ourselves and one another that keep the rigid stories going. And that's how families and streets and communities and peoples and nations, how we get ourselves as humans into intractable conflict.
Yeah.
A big part of it is our unwillingness to step into the sacred path of uncertainty with one another, which is, and I had this just a couple of weeks ago, Lizzie, I have been in a different context in a situation with some people who really, in a way, didn't want to make eye contact with me. I'm sure because of judgments that they have about things that I have and haven't done, and there may be good grounds for their judgments, but I could feel myself rigidifying into the, well, they're the people who don't look at me, so I'm going to treat them, you know, the parts of me that will go, well, I'm going to be all superior or something. Mm-hmm. And then we found ourselves in a context where we could actually get talking with one another, and something melted. And there we were face to face in the vulnerability and tenderness and not knowingness of being humans together. And it was completely different to how the part of me that got so afraid and so certain imagined that this would ever be. And so in a way, you could rewrite, I wouldn't want to rewrite Rosemary's poetry, but there's a version of this poem which also says something like, sometimes we wake believing that a relationship is a storm, a particular dynamic between me and someone else, but it turns out by afternoon that it might be a garden, or it might be a moon. That the very same principle, because of what you're saying, applies to not just to what's within us, but to all the in-betweens. And so what a role we can play by holding out the possibility that another more life-giving story about ourselves and other people, a truthful one, but a life-giving one, might be possible than the ones we get really fixated on.
Mm. Well, it's kind of miraculous even that that's possible. I'm feeling the energy of that kind of stuckness. That when we're stuck, it feels like it's the only option. You know, when I'm being defensive, or when I'm holding that line of, well, you're not looking at me, so I'm not going to look at you, it feels so kind of solid. And so to kind of gentle into this and to go, well, it doesn't have to be that way. Like maybe we can be with one another like you were with those people who previously didn't feel like anything was possible other than whatever was already going on. And then something shifts. Like I'm really grateful that that's a possibility in the world. And thankfully there's people like Rosemary who are actually writing it down and saying that trusting uncertainty is a sacred path that we can. And I guess the nature of a path is that it's one step at a time, and that that's all we can ever do is take one step, and that we can trust that. It's possible to trust that. So I'm feeling enhopened and kind of gentled into allowing whatever my positionality is to change, and feeling some safety in that. And I think this is also just in where community comes in, and, you know, talking to people with whom we aren't in conflict about the things that are difficult, so that we can also gain strength in this perspective by being in conversation with one another like this, so that then that can be at my back when I'm in the situation that I'm in, and being brave and holding this perspective inside the relationship directly that's going wrong or that's difficult or whatever. So I feel very very supported, and that there's a place for processing all of this stuff, and that we can find new ways of looking and feeling and new possibilities that feel real and tangible, even when it feels horrible and kind of it's never going to change. So I'm really grateful for that. And I think this is probably a good place for us to complete and say another big thank you to Rosemary for her work. Justin, I know that we're both in love with Rosemary in all kinds of ways. And it's so delightful that her work is so inspiring to us, and she's so freely giving of it into the world as well. It's really beautiful. And Justin, we'll be back next week with a source that you've chosen. And just to say thank you, everyone, for being here with us, for being part of the conversation, for commenting, for sending us messages, for when you see us in the street, saying hello, all of those kind of things. We're really grateful. And yeah, we'd love to hear from any of you that would like to reach out to us. And just to say thank you again, and thank you, Justin, for your openness and willingness to be on the uncertain path.
You're welcome. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.